From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The CIA now says Moscow, Russian hackers, intervened in the U.S. presidential election to sway the race for Donald Trump. The president-elect rejects that claim as ridiculous, and he's questioning the CIA's competence. Wow, what a way to start things off. Members of his own party are calling for a bipartisan probe. President Obama has ordered a full investigation. This hour On Point, what the new allegation means for American democracy and for the Trump presidency. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you shocked? Are you jaded? Skeptical? What should happen here now? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We're going to really dig in on this hour. We begin in Washington with Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for The New York Times. They've been right out front in reporting on this, not alone, but right out there. Mark Mazzetti, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Can you clarify for us what exactly has come out in the last couple of days here that's new? We heard about this Russian hacking all through the fall, but what exactly is new, and what's the source of this information?
Right. So the last couple months, as you said, the U.S. government has been very open about the fact that they believe the Russian government was trying to disrupt the election, that they were sending hackers to not only hack the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, but other party and local officials, other elements of the election. What is new is that it was revealed on Friday that the CIA last week presented a new analysis to Congress after the election. So they did it last week, saying that their judgment is that the Russian government was specifically trying to kind of put their thumb on the scale for Trump. So the hacking had a purpose to help elect Donald Trump. And that's the sort of significance of the sort of change in analysis. As I said, this is a primarily CIA analysis that was done, and as we reported today, it wasn't because of any new, pristine new intelligence that came since the election, but it's a sort of compilation of all the information they had that they presented as a coherent analysis.
And how is that coming out, Mark? Have you seen a written, or have reporters seen a written report from the CIA? Is this people in Congress or in the administration saying, here's what they've now told Congress? What's the nature of the sourcing?
Yes, it should be said. I have not seen it. I don't think any reporter has actually seen the classified analysis done by the agency. They're relying on people who have seen it or are familiar with the document to describe it, both those who think it is a compelling piece of analysis and those who think that it's wanting. So, it's the disadvantage we're at. The CIA hasn't declassified it. They haven't put it out. So we're trying to get as much as we can based on those who have seen it.
Remind us, or tell us anew, if there's new information here, what Russian steps they are talking about and how they see those as having been in the interest of one candidate, Donald Trump.
Well, again, with the stipulation that we haven't seen it, it's our understanding that the analysis puts together a number of different things. The evidence that is now known about what got hacked, the various Democratic Party organizations, the email of John Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, all of that information, or a lot of that information, spilled out into the public and created some embarrassing stories for Hillary Clinton. On Friday night, the Times also reported that the Republican National Committee had been hacked, or databases associated with the RNC were hacked, and that information did not go public. So that is possibly another piece of information that maybe both were hacked, but only one side's information, embarrassing information, spilled out. Adding on top of that, this is what the CIA and other sort of global intelligence agencies do. They would layer on that a political analysis of, beyond that evidence, what is the analysis of why the Russian government might have been inclined to favor one candidate over the other. Now, it's no secret that Vladimir Putin was a critic of Hillary Clinton, that he saw her, or the State Department, Department's meddling in some of the some of his region. And it's also true that he and Donald Trump appear to have a fairly warm relationship, and both have said good things about each other, and Donald Trump has talked about how we need to improve relations with Russia. So these would be all things that the agency's analysis would put together. I think we should be clear, and again, we haven't seen the document, that we don't think that there is a quote-unquote smoking gun here, or that there's 100% certainty of the case. This is an analysis based on an accumulation of primarily circumstantial evidence that would lead them to that conclusion, but that's a lot of times what the CIA does.
If we don't have something new here, Mark, like tape from the Kremlin where Vladimir Putin is cackling over how he's going to swing the election for Donald Trump, if there's not something, I'm being facetious there, but if it's not something really clear like that, you could have looked at this all through the fall and thought to yourself, quite justly, well, all of this stuff is coming out pretty much to the detriment of Hillary Clinton. I don't see much coming out to Donald Trump. If it's just as simple as that, they sat back and looked at it. Anyone could see that, could see it for several months here now. How do you explain the timing? Why didn't they say something before the election? The FBI came out, certainly, and talked about Anthony Weiner and all that right before the election. If it's nothing more concrete or new than sitting back and looking at the weight of evidence, why now?
It is a good question that at this point we don't have a good answer to, because we don't know whether this was an analysis that was specifically ordered up by Congress after the election and the CIA is responding to a request, which they get often, or whether there was a feeling that in putting together this analysis that presenting it to Congress before the election, they knew it would leak, and that would affect the outcome of the election. There are many different possibilities. We don't know. I mean, certainly CIA tries to at least not be a direct participant in the outcome of an American election, and so there may have been some concern in the agency that doing this analysis would have tipped the balance in one way. But I'm speculating. We don't know yet.
Here's Donald Trump yesterday talking with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. Chris asked Trump what he thought about this CIA reported assessment that Russia intervened in the U.S. election to help get him elected. Here's Trump's response.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's just another excuse. I don't believe it. I don't know why. And I think it's just, they talked about all sorts of things. Every week it's another excuse. We had a massive landslide victory, as you know, in the Electoral College.
Okay, it wasn't a massive landslide electoral victory. I mean, it was 46th or something out of like 58 electoral outcomes over the years. So let's just leave that aside, though. Mark Mazzetti, he's calling the CIA's conclusion here ridiculous publicly. Now, is there a precedent for this, for an incoming president or sitting president taking the report of his CIA and flicking it back to them and saying that's absurd, that's ridiculous?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly precedent for a president not having a great deal of confidence in the CIA or other intelligence agencies, or having a pretty rocky relationship with the agency. I mean, you could look at Bill Clinton in at least his first term was sort of famously dismissive of the agency and just didn't have the time for them. But for a president-elect to so publicly challenge the professionalism of the CIA and question their loyalties and question their competence, I don't know of a precedent for that.
You've got John McCain talking with CBS Face the Nation yesterday and saying, look, don't make this issue partisan. Here's McCain.
You can't make this issue partisan. It's too important. A fundamental of a democracy is a free and fair election. And again, I'm saying they're doing this in other countries, not just this one.
Mark Mazzetti, what's he talking about there? They're doing this. I guess he means Russians doing this in other countries.
Right, that Russians are the Russian government is trying to swing the outcome of elections, whether it's in Ukraine or the Baltics or anything in the region. That this is something that they think is part of their mission to get people in power in their region who are pro Moscow, and that's what McCain is referring to. And I think that to his point about partisanship, I think in any kind of normal period of time, the idea that the Russians hacked an American election would certainly
it's outrageous.
A kind of bipartisan response to really investigate. But, you know, I think we should continue to say this is not a normal time we're living in right now. And so the normal ways you think Republicans should respond to things and Democrats should respond to things, sometimes they're upended and it's all just a little bit of a mess. So it's we shouldn't expect, I think, right now that people, you know, should respond the way that they've traditionally responded.
What do you expect from congressional hearings on this? You've got this bipartisan group saying we're going to do it. What might come out there, Mark?
Well, you Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, said this morning that he does not want to have any kind of a joint investigation or independent sort of blue ribbon committee into this. He thinks it's handled fine in the Senate Intelligence Committee and the Senate Armed Services Committee. We'll see. So he's certainly trying to throw cold water on that. There is, as we reported over the weekend, a fair amount of tension inside at least the Senate Intelligence Committee about whether to investigate. You have people on the Republican side who are very much Trump supporters, and it seems that they are not incredibly enthusiastic to investigate this. It should be noted that John McCain is the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, so at least by his public comments, you would think that he would want to aggressively cover this.
They're talking now about how to defend and deter. Is it clear how to defend and deter here, Mark?
Well, that's the defense is one thing, and then there's been a lot of discussion recently about, you know, should there have been a response by the Obama administration to this? Is that an act of deterrence by retaliating? You're going to be hearing more and more of that in the coming weeks about, you know, should there be a U.S. response to this, and what would be the response, or what should be the response?
Even now, in the potentially the remaining days of the Obama administration?
Yes, either now or and if not now, would President Trump ever do it? So I think this is going to be a discussion going forward.
It's a pretty big deal. It's the presidency of the United States we're talking about here. Mark Mazzetti covers national security for The New York Times, been reporting all over this. Mark, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the CIA's conclusion that Russia intervened in the U.S. election on behalf of Donald Trump, what that means, what to do about it, and the president-elect's denials. That says it's ridiculous. You can join us this hour. How's it feel to read these headlines? Moscow intervened for Trump. Does that sound ridiculous, as Donald Trump says? Does it sound serious, very serious, like something that demands a response? Do we need a full-on congressional investigation or even something more here? Deterrence? What would that mean? What should it mean? It had come out right through the fall that Russian hackers were behind a lot of these leaks, WikiLeaks and more, that were coloring the election. CIA now reportedly has come to Congress and said it wasn't just interference in a broad way. It was interference with a purpose, with a motive, and that was the election of Donald Trump. In an interview with CBS Face the Nation yesterday, John McCain told host John Dickerson that we've got a problem here.
It's clear the Russians interfered. Now, whether they intended to interfere to the degree that they were trying to elect a certain candidate, I think that's a subject of investigation. But the facts are stubborn things. They did hack into this campaign.
And how should we look at that? Last month, the NSA director, this is Admiral Mike Rogers, spoke directly about the role. Nation States didn't say Russia, but that was a clear implication in hacking during an interview with the Wall Street Journal. And here he is saying how the WikiLeaks releases, you remember those on DNC members' emails, and what was a deliberate effort to affect the U.S. presidential election.
There shouldn't be any doubt in anybody's mind. This was not something that was done casually. This was not something that was done by chance. This was not a target that was selected purely arbitrarily. This was a conscious effort by a nation state to attempt to achieve a specific effect.
A conscious effort by a nation state to attempt to achieve a specific effect. And the CIA now coming out and telling Congress, yeah, Russia. And the effect was the election of Donald Trump. What does a democracy like ours do with that assessment? Michael Crowley joins us right now from Arlington, Virginia, senior foreign affairs correspondent for Politico. Michael Crowley, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
How do you see the implications of the CIA report to Congress?
Well, I mean, highly alarming, of course. I would remind you and everyone listening that this isn't a surprise. You know, in fact, it was clear, you know, before the election that Russia was intervening. The CIA has put a somewhat more specific assessment of Russian motives to it, but we've known for some time now that Russia was seeking to, at minimum, undermine public confidence in the election and sow confusion. So it's good that people are waking up to this and focusing on it in a way that I think they had not been before. But people should understand that we've understood this for a while, and this is not the CIA going out on a limb, at least as far as basic Russian involvement is concerned. You know, what to do about it is a very separate and complicated question that is inevitably runs up against the fact that we have a president, a president-elect in Donald Trump, who has demonstrated a very kind of peculiar sympathy for Vladimir Putin. You know, Donald Trump talks a lot about the U.S. and Russia working together at a moment when a lot of people are saying the U.S. should actually get tougher and even potentially retaliate against Moscow for this interference in the election. But it's not crazy to take the position that we should have better relations with Russia. A lot of serious people say that. What's peculiar is, and we can elaborate on this later, the number of times Trump has defended Putin from allegations as wide-ranging as the hacking, which we're seeing him dispute now, but to include things like the Russian involvement in the shootdown of the MH17 airliner over Ukraine that appears to have been brought down by a Russian-supplied missile system, the assassination of Putin critics. There's a list that goes on where Trump, on numerous occasions, some of which have not gotten a lot of attention, Trump has sort of waved off these accusations of Putin's misbehavior and said, well, we don't know that. It's not proven. That's what people say. I don't know. I haven't seen it for myself. Even in the face of expert opinion, strong consensus, intelligence agencies.
What are you getting at with those observations, Michael? What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that Donald Trump seems to have an almost willful ignorance about Vladimir Putin's methods and intentions that raises the question of whether there is some unstated, unknown reason why he has sympathy toward Putin that we don't completely understand. Because frankly, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Trump is way out on a limb. It's one thing to say the U.S. and Russia should work more closely together. Again, a lot of smart people in the foreign policy establishment agree with that. You can debate the nuances. But to repeatedly sort of bat down these very credible allegations of Putin's sort of malfeasance suggests that Trump is bending over backwards for reasons that are not clear. And if there is some sort of concealed reason for this, that's very troubling. But I can't speculate beyond that, Tom, as to what it is.
I want to think about where Congress will or will not go with this. I mean, we saw some Republicans coming out very strong over the weekend. Here was Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, telling CNN, I mean, this was actually last week, that Russia is responsible for interfering in the U.S. election, and he said should pay a price.
I'm going after Russia in every way you can go after Russia. I think they're one of the most destabilizing influences on the world stage. I think they did interfere with our elections, and I want Putin personally to pay a price.
Want Putin personally to pay a price. There was a kind of slow walking on this over the weekend, but today you've got Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell saying, hey, come on, we're upset. We're right in there. Here he is.
It defies belief that somehow Republicans in the Senate are reluctant to either review Russian tactics or ignore them.
Michael Crowley with Political, please stand by. Michael DeBonis joins us right now from Washington, covers Congress, national politics for The Washington Post. Michael DeBonis, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
What do you see potentially shaping up in terms of congressional investigations? What form might they take and with what end in mind, Michael?
So what you saw this morning was Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, sort of funneling all of this into the Senate Intelligence Committee, basically indicating that he had full confidence in that body to take a look at this matter and figure out what happened. That is a little different than what some other senators had proposed, either doing some sort of special select committee or perhaps having another committee look at at this more openly. What's notable about that is that the Intelligence Committee is obviously equipped to do oversight of the CIA, of the intelligence community in the way that other committees aren't. Mm-hmm. But it also does its work largely in secret. It's very, very rarely holds open hearings. You know, typically reports that it does are at least partially classified. Most famously, the review of the CIA's torture practices during the Bush administration. So we don't have any clarity yet on what the product of this review will be. But what you do have is a group of bipartisan senators who are very, very committed to taking a thorough look at this and who want there to be very clear conclusions at the end of this. Now, it's unclear how widespread that desire is at this point.
I mean, why should – what would the argument be for keeping this in a closed hearings, Michael? I mean, this is of concern to every American. This is the outcome of our presidential vote. We've seen other hearings that were super public. We had months and months of hearings on Benghazi, for example, which was about one incident, a terrible incident, but one incident far away. This is about our election right here for the presidency. Why make that closed?
Well, I think it's two things. One is just the natural sort of inclination of folks in Washington to treat the intelligence community and intelligence assessments in a very careful and deliberate and secret, quite frankly, way. I think the other point is what you just put your finger on, which is they don't want this turning into another Benghazi type investigation where it was very explicitly politicized from the beginning and the whole thing was seen in a partisan lens. That said, you have you know, senators on both sides saying explicitly, particularly Senator McCain, Senator Graham for the Republicans, Senator Schumer for the Democrats, saying that that's not the direction they want to go in. But at the same time, you know, a good deal of transparency and openness is what leads to confidence and integrity in a probe like this is conclusions. So that's the balance they're trying to work out right now. You can very clearly tell that they're sort of feeling their way through this.
I don't even know how to get to the right altitude to respond to this, but let me put it to both of you. I'm Michael Crowley, jump in here, and I'll come to you, Michael DeVonis, as well. But when you have a big country whose presidential election has been hacked in some way by influence for one candidate, what's the right response to this, Michael Crowley? They're talking about defending future elections, all right, or trying to deter. I assume deter means gets back to the make Russia pay a price so it doesn't want to do this again.
Yeah.
But this is pretty fundamental. Do you look at this as just some, well, they sort of affected the atmospherics of the race a little bit, so not good, but not that big a deal. Let's all move on. Or is this a deeper offense to our internal process that just happened? And what about the external relationship that now sits in question?
Well, I think it's a deeper offense, Tom. I mean, it's complicated by the fact that it's hard to pinpoint exactly what effect the Russian influence had in the election. So, you know, did it affect the outcome? Did it give us a President Trump instead of a President Clinton? We can't know that for sure. But given that the margin in several states was quite close, I think you can make a pretty good case for it. And I think, does suggest that this is a massive event. You know, Michael Morrell, who was a former deputy CIA director, said in an interview or maybe something he wrote this morning that this is the biggest national security event since September 11th. And I think you can make that case. I mean, I think historically, you might argue that that altering the outcome of election would be tantamount to an act of war. But the problem here, Tom, is this opens this huge can of worms, which is our unpreparedness for this kind of modern form of warfare, which is information warfare and which is cyber warfare. What are the appropriate responses? How do you retaliate? And in particular, Tom, I know that this president is very concerned. He said so publicly,
Obama,
about escalating cyber war. Mm-hmm. President Obama has mm-hmm. he's concerned about cyber war getting out of control. You know, so people say, well, why can't we expose you know Putin's dirty secrets? You know, his allegedly hidden vast wealth or that of his cronies, and we might be able to do something like that. But the Russians will come right back at us, and we are actually more vulnerable in the cyber realm than the Russians are. We're a bigger country, bigger economy, more more networked into the internet, ditto for Western Europe. I think there's a feeling that we can't win a cycle of escalation. And the last thing I'll say before I stop is that one alternative is to impose an economic cost, and you could do that by applying sanctions. But any sanctions Obama does unilaterally through executive order, Trump can rescind with a stroke of the pen the day he's inaugurated. And for anything else, you need the Congress. So that goes back to the question of how seriously are Republicans in Congress going to take this and what are they going to do? I suppose the final option would be military, but really, I think that's not on the table right now. No one's talking about that. And given, you know, Russia's nuclear arsenal, I think that's an extreme last resort that I don't expect to come into the conversation.
We're talking about the CIA's conclusion that Russia intervened in the U.S. election and on behalf of a specific candidate, President-elect Trump. Michael DeBonis, you're covering Congress. You've got Mitch McConnell saying today it defies belief that somehow Republicans in the Senate are reluctant to review or ignore Russian tactics. But if this is a grave offense, first of all, do you see it understood in Congress as a grave offense to American democracy and grave enough to cut through what is surely a concern about unsettling the presidency of a Republican incoming administration?
I think that there is a divide amongst lawmakers right now. I think on one hand, you have veteran foreign policy and military hands like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who are very assured in their assessment of who Russia is and what Russia did and how the U.S. ought to respond to that. On the other hand, you have a lot of other Republicans in particular who aren't quite sure what to make of this. You have the president-elect, the standard bearer of their party, basically dismissing this as much ado about nothing. You have the president-elect casting doubt on the CIA as a trusted arbiter, a trusted source of intelligence. And I think that they're confused a good deal of rank and file Republican lawmakers about how to handle this. And they're looking to their leaders for cues about this. And I think that what Senator McConnell said today will go some way to pushing towards a more aggressive treatment of this. On the other side, on the House side, Speaker Paul Ryan has been very cautious. He put out a carefully worded statement yesterday that stopped short of recommending any congressional investigation at all. He's part of the so-called Gang of 12, which are the top congressional leaders who get into that secure room to get the briefings and are cleared to receive the most sensitive classified intelligence of anybody in Congress. You get the sense that he obviously has a long history with Trump and not wanting to sort of put himself at odds with him, and I think he's caught between that sort of those imperatives and also trying to fulfill his role as a constitutional officer here and make sure the Congress does what it needs to conduct oversight.
Do you see in Mitch McConnell's comments this morning the promise of aggressive treatment of this or of a closed door burial of this issue?
That is what remains to be seen. It's more aggressive than we had gotten previously, just for the fact that he's endorsing any sort of oversight at all of this. We really did not have any of the key committee chairmen, McCain and Graham, and with a few other exceptions. Marco Rubio put out a couple of comments on Twitter, mainly pertaining to the potential appointment of Rex Tillerson, more so than the Russian hacking.
Friend of Moscow, not something that necessarily sure recommends him to Marco Rubio.
Right. That was seen as sort of the subtext regarding the Secretary of State appointment. He sits on the Foreign Relations Committee. James Lankford, who's a first-term senator from Oklahoma who's on the Intelligence Committee, he put out a statement that's supporting a close look at this. So you're starting to see more and more folks, say that it has to be an issue beyond partisan politics. We're going to see if that sort of snowballs in the next day or two or whether, there is this divide and this is going to be seen through a partisan lens.
This is incredible territory. Of course, it was kind of staring us in the face, but now we've got The CIA reporting to Congress. Michael DeBonis covers Congress for The Washington Post. Michael, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Goldman Sachs. Get insights from some of the world's leading thinkers on markets, industries, and the global economy in the firm's podcast, Exchanges at Goldman Sachs. You'll hear discussions on topics with far-reaching implications like climate change, autonomous driving, the future of China's economic growth, plus much more. That's Exchanges at Goldman Sachs, available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play, and at gs.com/podcast.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the CIA's conclusion that Russia intervened in the U.S. election on behalf of Donald Trump, what that means, what to do about it, and Trump's denials, his diminishment of the CIA report. You can join us this hour. What do you think? Do we need full-on congressional investigations here? What should this mean about how we see the election results? Do we just say, oh, and move on? If it's true, then what? I mean, how do we defend against this? How do we deter this in the future? What does deterrence mean? Hitting, hurting Russia somehow? What's it mean to have a new president and his intelligence service start off like this? Michael Crowley is here, senior foreign affairs correspondent for Politico. Patrick Tucker from Defense One joins us in just a moment. Here's Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff yesterday. Lots of talk about this on the Sunday shows. Adam Schiff on Meet the Press saying it's alarming that the president-elect Donald Trump says he doesn't believe the intelligence community.
The fact that we have a president-elect who is willing to disregard the overwhelming evidence of the intelligence community just on the basis of the Russian involvement in the hacking of our institutions tells me that this will be a president who will disregard even the best assessments of the intelligence community when it doesn't suit his own version of events.
But nobody knows, said Donald Trump on Fox and Friends yesterday. Nobody knows who did this. He said CIA doesn't have a clue who's hacking what.
There's great confusion. Nobody really knows. And hacking is very interesting. Once they hack, if you don't catch them in the act, you're not going to catch them. They have no idea if it's Russia or China or somebody. It could be somebody sitting in a bed someplace.
Didn't sound real respectful of the CIA. Okay, but Kellyanne Conway, senior advisor to Donald Trump, said, oh, yes, very, very respectful, though the whole notion being put out here, she said, is laughable and ridiculous.
He absolutely respects the intelligence community. He's made very clear he's going to put his own people in there as well. What he has said is laughable and ridiculous is this entire notion, which people are just using as a foregone conclusion, that somehow this was meant to defeat Hillary Clinton and elevate him to the presidency.
He's going to put his own people in there as well. Maybe that somehow will take care of this. And finally, you've got the White House looking at this. On Friday, the principal deputy press secretary, Eric Schultz, talked about President Obama's instructions for the intelligence community to investigate Russia's hacking into U.S. presidential election. He wants something before he leaves office.
The president earlier this week instructed the intelligence community to conduct a full review of the pattern of malicious cyber activity related to our presidential election cycle. So he's requested this report be completed and submitted to him before the end of his term.
Michael Crowley is with us from Politico. Patrick Tucker's here from Defense One, technology editor there, joining us from Washington. Patrick Tucker, thank you very much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is there something amazing more to know here than we've already kind of seen played out rather publicly? Is this something that's you would look at these things very deeply? Is there a question about what went on here?
Well, so what's really going to help clarify things for the public, I think, is the different pieces of classified information that folks on the Senate Intelligence Committee have asked to be made public, and that really people in the intelligence community, both in the Washington Post article that came out Friday and previously, have hinted at existing. So really the private cybersecurity community in many ways kind of led this story through the spring and into the summer with CrowdStrike. That's the company that the DNC called to look at their networks and determine if there had been any problems. CrowdStrike, in a blog post back in June, said, yes, we discovered two different actors acting on these servers and exfiltrating information. Their analysis was backed up by several other private security firms. And so in many ways, that's what's got this entire ball rolling. The intelligence community only came out in October, basically endorsing that. Now, the Washington Post story from Friday follows statements from the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who said in defending that statement that the IC put out in early October, said, "That's one of the reasons we waited as long as we did to make the statement, was to ensure that we had sufficient evidence, both forensic and otherwise, to reach the conclusion we reached as articulated in the statement." So what that lets you know is that this is how the intelligence community does things. You take a lot of different pieces of information, some of which are probably sitting out there open source. You combine them all. You weigh the credibility of that in alongside clandestine or exquisite information that was very difficult to get, and that gives you to a level of confidence that you wouldn't get just looking at what's publicly available. But that doesn't mean that the stuff that was publicly available was in any way wrong. It's just that now you've got a stronger case. And that's what folks on the Senate Intelligence Committee, led by Ron Wyden, would like to be declassified as quickly as possible.
But what do we do about it? I want to go to our callers, Edna in Peru, Vermont. Edna, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. I love On Point, and I thank you for releasing this information. Today, I feel that we absolutely should be standing up. With Russia intervening in our election, and the election results should be thrown out, because it's absolutely preposterous we weren't given this information that was discovered in October, when we went to the polls in November to vote.
I mean, we knew that the people, it was being said that Russians were interfering. It was not explicitly being said that they interfered for one side, for one party here, but that was pretty obvious. I mean, Edna, when do you get to the point? When do you get to the point where you have to respond? You want to throw the whole election out. I mean, people, you could say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but.
Are you kidding me? I mean, it's preposterous. What we're looking at is Rex Tillerman, the CEO of Exxon, coming in as our Secretary of State, who had a $500 billion deal on the table with Russia in 2009. It was thrown out, and we stood up against it because we were protecting the environment. He now is going to be going in as Secretary of State. I mean, everyone's looking the other way on this. It's obvious that was Trump's part of the deal. You rig our election, and I will hand you Rex Tillerman, CEO of Exxon, and you can go ahead with your deal in the Arctic.
Edna, that's a big assertion. That's a big assertion. I don't know that as a fact in any way whatsoever, but I see how you're thinking about it. Michael Crowley, people are going to come to their own conclusions here until Congress or someone definitive does. But at the top of the administration, you're going to have Donald Trump, who's already said it's ridiculous. So, you know, so what?
Okay, so Tom, let's take the more benign assessment of the intelligence community. I think it's the FBI's assessment, which is we're not sure that Russia was trying to install Donald Trump as president, but everyone...
Wait a minute, I thought that's exactly what they reported on Friday.
The CIA thinks that Russia was trying to install Trump. The FBI remains unclear about the exact motive.
Yeah.
And by the way, Trump is sneaky about this. In his interview, he says, well, they're arguing, they don't know, they meaning the intelligence community, you know, they're not arguing about whether there was Russian involvement. There's some debate about Russia's exact goals, okay? So Trump is making it sound like, oh, no one knows, there's no consensus. There's strong consensus that Russia was getting involved. The most benign interpretation is that Russia simply wanted to create so confusion and doubt around the election, okay, and undermine our democracy. Well, what I hear in that caller's words is exactly what that looks like, okay? So even if you say, I don't believe that Russia wanted to install Trump, these questions have been raised now. People don't know what to believe. They're really disturbed. They think that the election may be illegitimate. They think that all kinds of conspiracy theories are possible. Now, I don't mean to rule out the more serious allegation, which is coming from the CIA right now, that Russia did indeed intend to make Trump president. But what I'm saying is, even if you don't believe that, as Trump does not, you still see something that Russia must be very happy with, which is confusion around our election, distrust, conspiracy theories, which is incredibly unhealthy for our democracy and for our political system.
Luke in Miami, Florida. Luke, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just got a couple points to say quickly.
Yeah.
It's not that I think Trump is not prone to denying facts, and I think he'll probably start trusting the CIA after he appoints it with people of his own choosing. And not that I think Russia is above something like this, but there's just two main points. One, I do believe the intelligence community is prone to making some pretty big mistakes. I distinctly remember a news story that did not get much airtime right in the wake of 9/11, where the CIA, it was reported that the CIA and the FBI both had information to prevent that attack, but they did not communicate with each other.
Luke, keep it up to date, or we'll be here all night. Are you not confident in the CIA's assessment of what they are seeing coming out of Moscow on the U.S. election?
Well, I don't know. All I'm saying is that I know that they're not perfect, okay? And then the next thing I want to say is that I work in IT, and I understand the medium, the digital medium. Yep. I'm in it all the time.
Yep.
And it is highly malleable. And I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that somebody could have made it look like Russia was doing this and not necessarily it be Russia. It's like a labyrinth. The computers are the ultimate labyrinth.
I mean, and now we've got John Bolton, former UN secretary or ambassador for the U.S., representative there, suggesting exactly that this was a black flag operation by the Obama administration to make it look like the Putin crowd got into U.S. elections. Luke, I appreciate your call. Patrick Tucker, let me bring that to you. I mean, Donald Trump said, and we heard him on the tape, there's great confusion. Nobody really knows. Luke calls from Miami, says, I'm in IT, and it is hard to know. Is it here, Patrick?
Well, often in cases, it's sort of hard to know. This is a very particular case where you have a whole ton of different researchers that have been working with these two particular threat actors for years. They've gone through a lot of different iterations, and the tools that they use, the very particular malware suites that they use, are very well known. And known for being related to them. The C-Daddy exploit, their very particular approach to establishing a persistent threat on a given environment. Also, these guys attack very particular targets, the GRU and the FSB, who are believed to be the two, at least the contracting agents, if not the overriding authority structure of Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear, the two malware actors. They've attacked first Ukrainian and Eastern European political targets, and also Ukrainian and Eastern European military targets, German television stations, German political targets. And
so when Donald Trump says there's a lot of confusion, nobody really knows, you're not buying that, Patrick.
No. I'm absolutely not buying that at all. There's a reason both the Cyber Command, German intelligence services, the entire cyber security community that's looked at this, including firms that compete with each other like Threat Connect, like Mandiant and CrowdStrike. These are all actual competitors. They've all endorsed CrowdStrike's original findings. You put on top of that the blessing of the NSA with Mike Rogers, Cyber Command with Mike Rogers and DNI. And that suggests that there's a lot of evidence. And any piece by itself might look sort of circumstantial, but there's a preponderance of evidence that very clearly indicates that these two actors are who everybody understands them to be, the exploits that they use or the exploits people understand, and that this was what they were trying to do.
And the report now, Moscow trying to swing the election, tried or got in there to do it for Donald Trump. That is hard for a democracy to digest. Donald Trump says this is just partisan. This is just sour grapes. Let's go to Mike in New York, Utica, New York. Mike, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I just wanted to weigh in on this conversation.
Yep.
I'll be honest with you. You know, I think this whole thing is nothing more than the liberals, you know, Obama's liberals, you know, not willing to accept the loss in the election. Your guests had pointed out in the beginning that this is nothing more than circumstantial evidence, which it is. I mean, where's the proof? You know, he said that the CIA has this still classified. Well, you know, without seeing the proof, you know, how do we know?
Well, I mean, I take your point, Mike, and I understand it's a big deal. You want to know. People in Congress now saying, let's get it out there in hearings. And clearly, there are people very unhappy with Donald Trump's election who could feel sour grapes. But if it is Moscow deliberately interfering for one or another candidate in a U.S. election, how do you feel about that, Mike?
Well, you know, like I said, I would need to see proof. As far as that goes, this stuff has been going on for generations. Now, look.
Well, I mean, we haven't had hacking for generations. Our time is short, but I take your point. Sour grapes possibility. One more. Georgia, Dothan, Alabama. Georgia, you're on.
Hey, Mike. Thank you for accepting my call. I just want to say that, we need to get away from this notion of that, the liberals are upset about the election and that sort of thing. And even if that is the case, let's look at it from the vantage point of, one, what does Russia have on the United States? They hacked the RNC as well. And these kinds of things are just, something that will hurt our national security. I agree with your last couple of callers. One, that the election should be thrown out, not in favor of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. But if it were hacked so that Russia played some role or some part in this, then this goes against our democracy.
Georgia, we're out of time right there. Let me pick it up, and I'm very grateful for your call. Michael Crowley, at what point does it become that kind of issue? I mean, people could try and influence U.S. elections in all kinds of ways. Somebody abroad could make a comment about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. We don't throw elections out for that. Do we do it when they lay out some dirty laundry from one party and not the other?
I think, we don't throw out the election results, but I think we have a very important debate about this is a question of deterrence. How do you stop this from happening again? It's too late to undo the results of the election, I think, barring some really shocking new revelation. But as I said earlier, we're not really prepared for this new era of information and cyber war. We're kind of improvising our response. No one's sure what to do, and we have to come up with some way to make clear that this can't be done to us again. The problem is you have a president who doesn't even accept the premise, and apparently a lot of people in the American public who share his skepticism. So we are in scary, uncharted waters, Tom.
Patrick Tucker, can you see a way to defend against this in the future? Are we ever going to have that way? Very briefly, Patrick.
We're particularly vulnerable to this sort of thing. It cost the cost-benefit analysis of perpetrating this sort of act. This really didn't cost them anything.
Yeah.
And they've slowly been ramping up their ability to do this. For us, we can't even have an argument rationally about whether or not this has happened, much less how to protect ourselves and our electoral system from influence warfare.
What a time right there, Patrick. It's great of you to be with us today. Patrick Tucker at Defense One, Michael Crowley at Politico. Our great thanks to both of you. Lots on the table here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.